بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله وحده، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على من لا نبي بعده وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We send blessings and salutations upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his entire household, all his companions. We ask Allah to bless them and to bless every single one of us, beloved brothers and sisters in Islam. The prophecies of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam show that he was indeed a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I will dive straight into the topic because it is a very, very important subject, and at the same time I will try and cover as much as I can so that we can all understand and realize several points. One is the truthfulness of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the fact that he was indeed sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and indeed he had given us information that we see has happened and that we have felt and we have lived in the midst of such news. Yet at that time they had not even imagined that there would come a time that this would happen if it was not for the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whatever I say this evening is taken from the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or from verses of the Quran. And inshallah I will give you the references at the end. If anyone would like to purchase the books or to read the books in the libraries, they may exist there. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open our doors. The signs of the hour are a means of strengthening our iman, a means of understanding that we have a gift, and that is the fact that we are followers of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The verses I read just now before you have a portion which states, إِنَّ اللَّهَ عِنْدَهُ عِلْمُ السَّاعَةِ. Indeed, Allah is the one who has the knowledge of the hour. That is Allah. The hadith of Jibreel alayhi salatu was salam, reported by Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, which is muttafaqun alayh, agreed upon, found in Sahih Muslim, Sahih al-Bukhari, and many other books of hadith, where a man came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was very good looking, he was wearing white clothing, he had very black hair. Nobody knew him, but they could see that he was not looking like he had undertaken a journey. And he came to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asking him several questions. One of the questions was, when is the hour? He responded saying, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied saying, مَا الْمَسْؤُولُ عَنْهَا بِأَعْلَمَ مِنَ السَّائِلِ. The one who is being asked knows no more than the one who is asking. Which means it is only Allah who knows when the hour shall be. So he asked another question. So what are the signs of the hour? And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said a few signs, inshallah. We will be mentioning these as well as many more this evening. There are two types of signs of Qiyamah. Those which are considered the major signs and those which are considered the minor signs. We will concentrate on the minor signs today, and I will very quickly make mention of the major signs at the end of my talk, inshallah. The reason is, we will notice one by one, almost every single one of these signs has come to pass. We are either living it, or it has already passed, or we understand it because it is almost there. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. My brothers and sisters, we all ask, when is Mahdi going to come? We all ask, when is Isa alayhi salam, the Prophet Jesus, may peace be upon him, going to return to the earth? Yes, it's a question. But the reality is, whilst we learn the answer of that, do not lose focus that we may have died before any of the major signs will come. What did myself and yourselves prepare for the meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Never ever be deceived by this world. Like the verses I read at the beginning, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَا تَغُرَّنَّكُمُ الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا وَلَا يَغُرَّنَّكُمْ بِاللَّهِ الْغَرُورِ. Do not let this dunya, this worldly life, deceive you. And do not let the big deceiver, who is the devil, deceive you as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O people, be conscious of Allah, be conscious of your Maker, and fear the day when no father shall be able to help his own child, or vice versa. Subhanallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us comfort on that day, and may He make us from those who can be saved from the fire of hell. One of the first signs of Qiyamah that are made mention of is the mere fact that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent as a final messenger. Why is this a sign of Qiyamah? Two things we learn from this. One is, not all the signs are bad news. Some of them are actually good news in themselves, but they have within them information or news that now the world is going to come to an end if He is the final Nabi. We are fortunate that Allah sent to us someone to guide us. But at the same time, we need to realize there will be no Nabi after him, which means after him the world will come to an end. That is how it is considered a sign of Qiyamah. He says, بُعِثْتُ أَنَا وَالسَّاعَ كَهَاتَيْنِ I have been sent myself and the hour as close as these two fingers. And he pointed with the first and second fingers together. And this hadith is appearing in Sahih al-Bukhari, narrated by Sahal ibn Sa'ad radiallahu anhu. And we need to know that that means I am so close to the hour. After me is going to be the hour. Before me, there were other prophets. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make our offspring also from amongst those who will be following Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And may He make us from amongst those who do not solely pay lip service to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that we are followers, we are lovers, we follow him, we consider him a Nabi, and our lives are heading in a different direction altogether. May Allah protect us. Secondly, the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam speaks of fitan. Fitan meaning trials, tribulations, calamities, one after the other. There will be confusion on earth. That is a prophecy of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, بادروا بالأعمال فتنا كقطع الليل المظلم يصبح الرجل مؤمنا ويمسي كافرا ويمسي مؤمنا ويصبح كافرا. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, you need to overtake with your deeds the evil, the trials, the tribulations, the calamities that shall happen. They will be darker than the darkness of the night, the dark corners of the night, which means nobody will see right from left, nobody will understand what's going on, nobody will realize things. The only way to succeed at that time is to overtake these fitan, these calamities, these difficult times, this hostile environment by doing good deeds, al-a'mal. With good deeds, you will be able to overtake the fitan and the difficulties, the trials, tribulations of the age. Obviously, that is a hadith. The Prophet ﷺ says, a person will be a mu'min, a believer in the morning, and he'll do something or say something or reject a verse of the Quran and so on. By the evening, he will be a non-Muslim. And in the evening, a person will be a mu'min, and by the morning, they will be a non-mu'min, meaning a non-believer. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not make us from amongst those. Then he says, in a hadith which is reported in al-Tabarani by Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once made a dua, powerful dua. He says, Allahumma barik lana fi sa'ina wa muddina. Oh Allah, grant us barakah in our measurements. Sa' is a measurement and a mudd is also a measurement. A sa' is slightly bigger than a mudd. A mudd is like a handful. So oh Allah, give us barakah in our sustenance, in other words. And the next part of the dua, he says, وَبَارِكْ لَنَا فِي شَامِنَا وَيَمَنِنَا. And Ya Allah, grant us barakah in the northern part of this region and in the southern part of this region. So that is what we call Palestine, Palestine and so on, Sham, Lebanon, Syria, those countries. And towards the south you find Yemen, and the term is used, Yamanina. Grant us barakah in this region. And you know that Islam has spread in the entire region. So one of the companions said, وَفِي عِرَاقِنَا. What about our Iraq, Ya Allah? Which means towards the east, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What about towards the east? Do you know what he said? Allahu Akbar. He says, إِنَّ بِهَا قَرْمُ الشَّيْطَانِ وَتَهَيُّجُ الْفِتَنِ. Allahu Akbar. In Iraq, there are the horns of the devil, and it is a place where the fitan will commence. Look at this. What a prophecy. This is reported in Tabarani years ago. There will be fitan in Iraq. There will be difficulty, calamity. That started at the time of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, and the others. And you and I know of the battles that took place in Kufa with the grandchildren of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his own daughter. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. To this day, there is a lot of fitna there. What we learn from this is that it is a prophecy. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam already told us that towards that region of the east, there will be great difficulty. There will be a lot of fitan. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us. Another prophecy, another sign of Qiyamah, istidhafatul mali wa man'u sadaqah. There will be lots of wealth. People will become loaded. They will be so rich that nobody will take zakah. To the degree that when you go to people with your wealth and you tell them, this is zakah, we'd like you to take it, he'll say, no, I don't need this wealth. Allahu Akbar. So consider the fact that you are giving your zakah an honor. It is an act of worship that needs both parties, not just one. This is why we always say, treat the poor with a lot of respect. Had it not been for them, you would not be able to fulfill a pillar of Islam, no matter how wealthy you are. May Allah accept us and may He make us give to the right cause. This evening, inshallah, I am also pleading with you to give to the right cause. Wallahi, we have so many from amongst us who can give even a little bit. It is sometimes an insult to go around collecting donations for a good cause. Where are those who can go around and hunt for the good cause in order to give? There will come a time when there will not be a cause for you to give because they won't need your wealth. Then what is going to happen? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. This is why if you read in the Quran, Surah Al-Zilzal, where earthquakes are made mention of, and by the way, that is also a sign of Qiyamah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, earthquakes will increase. Earthquakes will increase. And the tremors will increase on the globe. Catastrophe will increase on the globe. Mass death will increase on the globe. Today we see mass death. In one narration he says, people will be fighting each other, killing for no reason. لا يدري القاتل فيما قتل ولا المقتول فيما قتل. A person who is being killed won't know, why am I being killed? And a person killing won't know, why am I killing? Take a look at the armies that are prowling across the globe, across the entire globe, and they are going around bombarding, killing. They don't know why they are doing it. They just received an instruction, go and fire. And they are killing innocent people across the globe. Why are they being killed? They don't know. We've never said a word wrong. Nothing has happened. We don't even understand. That is a prophecy of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is why we come to see that the weather patterns will also change according to the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You will have severe winters, severe summers. You will have lots of hurricanes, tornadoes. Look at what's going on as we are speaking in some countries of the world. May Allah protect us. You will have floods. You will have lots of rain, but no produce, no crop from that rain. You see, rain is such, the right amount will bring about the correct amount of crops. If you have too little, you have no crop. If you have too much, you also have no crop. Subhanallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us and may He not punish us with the rain. So much so that in another hadith He says, the Arabian Peninsula will become green and it will blossom again. Subhanallah. Today there are golf courses in the Middle East and there are gardens that are more plush than those that myself and yourselves have. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us an understanding. These are prophecies of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When he went to Tabuk, he told, it was Mu'adh ibn Jabal, if I'm not mistaken, radiallahu anhu, that, oh Mu'adh, if you are given age and you live long, you will see this entire place turning green where the well was. And subhanallah, to this day, in the middle of Tabuk, there is a huge green garden, and that's where the well was. Allahu Akbar. It's a prophecy of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then you have the verses of the Quran, وَأَخْرَجَتِ الْأَرْضُ أَثْقَالَهَا, speaking of the end, right at the end. The earth will spit out all its weight. Everything that it is holding will be spat out. There is a hadith which explains that this will happen in stages. The gold of the earth will come to the surface. The silver of the earth and all the minerals and all the valuable stones and gems will come up to the earth. Wallahi, in my country, in Zimbabwe, a few years ago, there was a little tremor in Mozambique which caused mountains to split, and they found them full of diamonds. Until today, we have the largest deposits of industrial diamonds on the globe. Do you know that? And it only happened a few years ago. They are discovering more gold. Why? It's coming up to the top. Do you know why? Because Allah says, هُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا. Allah has created for you, O man, everything that is on the earth and in the earth. So if the earth is coming to an end, everything that's inside is for us, it must come out to the top and we must make use of it. And so wealth will increase. So it's common logic and sense that there cannot remain something of value under the earth when it was written for someone who was going to live above the earth. And this is why it is being extracted as we speak. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us barakah and blessings in our wealth. I see, normally when I speak of this, some of the people are smiling. The poorer people come, they nudge me later, they say, we're waiting for that day, man. We haven't yet seen a bar of gold. Allahu Akbar, don't worry, it's coming. But when it comes, it will come with a lot of fitna. So better you have a smaller amount with much happiness than to have large amounts with great turmoil and turbulence, even in your own home. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught us through the blessed lips of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that when the calamities come, something major will occur to the ummah and to the globe. And it will seem like this is the worst thing that ever happened. And after that, something else will happen which will eclipse every time the previous occurrence. So something major happens and everyone says this is the worst ever. Something else will happen, they will still say it's the worst ever. They forget the previous one and it will be made to be eclipsed by the other one, the next one which comes that is bigger than it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. Another sign of Qiyamah or of the last day, a sign of the nearing of the hour is there will be many people, according to a hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari, many people who will be claiming prophethood. You know, you have Mirza Ghulam Qadiani, the Ahmadis they call. Who do they follow? They follow a man who claims to be a prophet. Yet he, if you study his medical history, he was psychologically quite ill, quite sick. He was a psychiatric patient. May Allah protect us. And may Allah grant us understanding. We have a difficulty today where the mu'mineen, they are lacking in character and conduct. And the disbelievers are overtaking us in character and conduct. Yes. We have been taught that your character and conduct is what will drive you to paradise. Why are we failing? It's a sign of the hour. Where we are only Muslims by name. The hadith says, لا يبقى من الإسلام إلا اسمه. There will come a time when nothing will remain from Islam besides its name. So today we say, you Muslim, Muslim. But look at how you dressed. Look at what you're doing. Look at the halal and haram. Look at everything around you. Absolutely nothing Islamic about you, my mother, my sister, my father, my brother. What is it Islamic about you? وَلَا يَبْقَى مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ إِلَّا رَسْمُهُ. The hadith says, nothing will remain from the Qur'an except its writing. So people won't understand it, they won't teach it, they won't put it into practice, and they won't learn it. Nothing happening. This is why we always stress, do not be fooled by those who tell you you're not allowed to read the meanings of the Qur'an. They are moving signs of Qiyamah. May Allah protect us. They are encouraging ignorance and they are making us fools. We have been placed on this earth to worship Allah alone. If you read the Qur'an and you understand it, nobody will be able to fool you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us protection. And that does not make us people who belong to cults or sects. We are still Muslimin. Because we want to follow what Allah has made mention of. And we want to understand the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us an understanding. So many people will come. A narration makes mention of 30. Some say more than 30. Approximately 33. All those narrations are intertwined. People who claim, I'm a prophet. I've come with prophecies. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguard us. Then there is a hadith which says, by Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, إِذَا ضُيِّعَتِ الْأَمَانَةُ فَانْتَظِرِ السَّاعَةِ. When trust has been lost, then wait for the hour. Which means, closer to the time, there will be no more trustworthy people on the earth. Not at all. So, you look at people, they cheat you in business, they deceive you. You look at people, they rob you, they steal from you. You look at people, they appear so honest, yet they are not. They don't pay back their loans, enmity and so on, because of dishonesty. And then the Sahaba radiallahu anhum asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what is the meaning of daya'ul amana? Can you give us a deeper explanation? He gave a powerful explanation. He says, إِذَا وُسِّدَ الْأَمْرُ إِلَى غَيْرِ أَهْلِهِ فَانْتَظِرِ السَّاعَةِ. When authority has been handed to a person who is not qualified for that position, then wait for the end of time. Two meanings to this. You have a company, you have a home, you have anything you have. You have a country, you have a masjid being run, you have a school being run. When the person at the top calling the shots is not even qualified for that position, then that item will be completely destroyed to start with. And on top of that, it will be a sign of the coming of the end of time. This is what it is. So you have a person who is the chairman of a masjid, he himself is not really bothered about Islamic rules and regulations. You have a person who is the chairman of a school, he has got even grade 2, grade 3 education. He has the last. You have a director of a football club, he cannot kick a ball to save his life. Allahu Akbar. I don't know what made me give that example. So this is why it is important to decline a position that you are not fit for.